Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. In previous seasons, Music at Menlo has presented the chamber music repertoire in a variety of contexts. We've explored the musical traditions of different regions, surveyed the legacies of composers from Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven to Mendelssohn, Dvorak, and Brahms, and examined music's ineffable effects on the listener. This summer, we will focus not on a composer or musical style, but on an instrument whose evolution in the hands of master makers and immortal composers constitutes one of music's richest stories, the violin. A miracle of technology that has not required an upgrade for over 300 years, the violin has been a driving force in the flowering of musical art. After the Cremonese master Antonio Stradivari perfected its design in the early 18th century, the violin acquired newfound power to sing, dazzle, and entrance that enabled composers to realize their musical dreams. From the innovative composer-performers of the Baroque period, through the technical wizards of the Romantic era, to the pioneers of instrumental expression in the 20th century, Music at Menlo's 2017 season celebrates the synergies between immortal composers and great violinists. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music. I'll be joined by artistic co-director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context to this summer's concert programs, highlighted by examples of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. The generation of virtuosi that emerged in the early 20th century, headed by the preternaturally gifted Fritz Kreisler, charted new frontiers in the violin's expressive potential. As the art of the violin was reimagined, so inevitably was the music written for it, as composers created music expressly for the soulful practitioners of the new style. Concert Program 6 features music by Borodin, Respighi, Izay, and even Kreisler himself, works that illustrate the Age of Expression's transformative effect on how composers would forever approach the instrument.
From his childhood musical studies, the Russian composer Alexander Borodin demonstrated an intellectual curiosity and an autodidactic bent that would flourish into his professional career. Growing bored with piano lessons, he and a friend explored, of their own volition, four-hand arrangements of music by Haydn, Beethoven, and Mendelssohn. Borodin later taught himself to play the cello out of a desire to participate in chamber music readings. In his adolescence, Borodin developed an interest in chemistry that would match and even exceed his passion for music. He studied chemistry at the St. Petersburg Medical Surgical Academy, en route to a profession as a chemist and physician. Borodin thrived in academia, but never forsook music. Nikolai Zinin, the chemistry chair at the academy, implored him, "Mr. Borodin, busy yourself a little less with songs. I'm putting all my hopes in you as my successor, but all you think of is music. You can't hunt two hares at the same time." To our benefit, Borodin did not heed his professor's advice and continued to turn to music for personal catharsis. In 1862, Borodin met the composer Mili Balakirev at a musical gathering at the home of a colleague. He became part of Balakirev's inner circle, along with Cesar Cui, Modest Mussorgsky, and Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. This group became known as the Mighty Handful, or the Five. The set of nationalist, largely self-taught composers who sought to establish a distinctly Russian musical style. With Balakirev's encouragement and guidance, Borodin soon completed his Symphony in E-flat and a number of songs, works that herald the consolidation of his personal voice. Borodin composed his String Quartet No. 2 in D major some 2 decades later, in 1881. The quartet is a love letter to the composer's wife, the pianist Yekaterina Sergeyevna Protopopova. The two had met in Heidelberg in 1861, where Yekaterina had been sent for treatment of her tuberculosis. Borodin and Yekaterina immediately bonded over their common musical interests, and Borodin proposed 3 months after they met. The quartet, composed 20 years hence, is a nostalgic recollection of their early courtship. That Borodin was utterly devoted to his wife can easily be heard in the work's euphoric tone. The quartet begins with a blissful dialogue between first violin and cello, clearly meant to symbolize Yekaterina and Borodin. The two voices dominate the first movement, with the first violin waxing especially rhapsodic. The development section forays into F major, a key traditionally associated with pastoral settings, meant perhaps to evoke idyllic memories of their meeting in Heidelberg. Even in its more aggressive moments, the allegro moderato never darkens. The musical contrast suggests a richness of experience rather than distress. The second movement, a light-hearted scherzo, skips along, propelled by fleet eighth notes. This playful music soon slows to a charming waltz, fit for a fairy tale. The movement elegantly balances these two musical ideas, as if to depict the young lovers frolicking by day and romancing by night. The ravishing nocturne seduces the listener with its first utterance, a heartfelt cello solo, cantabile ed espressivo. Thank you. First violin replies in kind. We are listening in on Borodin and Yekaterina's amorous dialogue on a summer evening softly moonlit by the second violin and viola. Midway through the movement, ascending runs in the violins quicken the tempo, and the main theme returns, now more urgent. The fourth movement begins with an andante introduction, as if still lost in the afterglow of the nocturne. Violins and lower strings exchange a playfully teasing question and answer before launching into an ebullient vivace. This finale reinforces the quartet's joyful demeanor. Before its conclusion, an andante interruption recalls the slow introduction, now with the viola and cello posing the question and the violins in response. As elsewhere throughout the work, it is not difficult to hear this as contented conversation between the composer and his beloved.
The Italian composer Ottorino Respighi's early musical education was broad. In addition to his compositional instruction under the influential pedagogue Giuseppe Martucci, he trained as a violinist and violist and also studied music history with the noted early music scholar Luigi Torchi. In 1900, Respighi was appointed principal viola of the Russian Imperial Theater Orchestra in St. Petersburg, while in Russia, he studied composition for a period of 5 months under Rimsky-Korsakov, whose influence can be heard in the vivid colors of Respighi's later orchestral scores. In 1913, Respighi became a professor of composition at the Conservatorio di Santa Cecilia in Rome, a post he would hold for the rest of his life. Rome seduced him so and inspired his best-known works. The symphonic poems Fountains of Rome, Pines of Rome, and Roman Festivals. This beloved triptych has won Respighi a measure of popularity arguably unmatched by any Italian composer since Puccini.
Though primarily known for his orchestral music, Respighi produced a modest catalog of chamber music as well. His violin sonata in B minor dates from the same period as Fountains of Rome, during which time the composer actively explored different stylistic directions. While Fountains of Rome might evoke the modern orchestral color of Debussy and Ravel, the sonata resoundingly echoes 19th century romanticism. The sonata's opening moderato begins with a penetrating melody in the violin, set atop an expectant murmur in the piano accompaniment. Respighi's melodic writing, in spite of its chromatic twists and turns and disjunct contour, has a strikingly vocal quality. The legato second theme, sung dolcissimo in the upper registers of the violin, starts in bright D major before proceeding to more complex harmonies. The movement features a highly charged development section. The piano part becomes densely orchestrated, and the music turns rhythmically volatile to match its mercurial harmonies. The violin whips up an impressive maelstrom, playing agitated quintuplets and septuplets above a clangorous accompaniment. Soon, tentative fragments of the high dolcissimo melody lead to the first theme's languid return. The movement culminates in a transcendent coda marked calmo and to be played con grande espressione e dolcezza. The Andante Espressivo begins with a childlike introduction, the piano presenting placid octaves in lilting 10-8 time. this quickly blooms into a statement of romantic opulence. The 10-8 lilt assumes the profile of steady quintuplets, supporting a stirring melody in the violin, rich with pathos. The movement gathers steam towards a headstrong appassionato section. When the quintuplets return, the piano presents an assertive new melody, immediately taken up by the violin. This leads to a fervid climax, impelled by the violin's fortissimo double-dotted declarations. The sonata concludes with a passacaglia, a form based on the constant repetition and variation of a central musical idea. The movement begins with the sinewy dotted rhythm passacaglia theme in the piano's bass register. The violin enters with Brahmsian heartiness. Over this recurring ostinato, Respighi spins a rich web of varied musical characters. Upon hearing the Hungarian virtuoso Joseph Szigeti perform Bach's Sonata in G minor for solo violin, the first of the Baroque master's celebrated six sonatas and partitas for the instrument, Eugenie Zay was inspired to compose his own set of six sonatas. Completed in 1924, Zay's six sonatas for solo violin, Opus 27, have subsequently come to occupy a similarly hallowed place in the instrument's literature. Penned by the premier violinist-composer of his generation, they stand as an early 20th century rejoinder to Bach's sonatas and partitas. Spotlighting the violin alone, sans keyboard accompaniment, they demonstrate the apex of the instrument's technique in their era, just as Bach's solo work did two centuries before. Each of the sonatas bears a dedication to a violinist contemporary with Izay. The fourth sonata, in E minor, is dedicated to Fritz Kreisler. Cast in three movements, the sonata explicitly nods to the form of the Baroque dance suites that prompted its creation. The first movement is an allemande, one of the most prevalent 16th and 17th century instrumental dance forms. In this magisterial allemande, Izay uses double, triple, and quadruple stopped chords to create a dense polyphonic texture, evocative indeed of Bach. The second movement takes the form of a saraband, a triple-meter dance form with origins in Latin America and Spain. Izay's saraband demonstrates a degree of polyphony equal to the preceding allemande, here executed pizzicato. Thus prefaced by music of such a special delicacy, the subsequent arco, that is, bowed music, is deeply affecting. The sonata concludes with an unrelenting presto finale. Like the sonata as a whole, this presto is not merely a paean to virtuosity, though its demands on the player are considerable. But characteristic of Izay's art, this bracing final movement features utterly captivating music, whose expressive power outpaces even its athletic thrill. Born in Vienna in 1875, the violinist and composer Fritz Kreisler ranks among the most celebrated virtuosos of his generation. At the turn of the 20th century, successful appearances with the Vienna, Berlin, and London Philharmonic Orchestras catapulted Kreisler to international stardom. The New Grove Dictionary of Music and Musicians notes, quote, "Kreisler was unique. Without exertion, he practiced little. He achieved a seemingly effortless perfection," end quote. Kreisler was also an active composer. In addition to a string quartet, an operetta, and other works, his oeuvre includes miscellaneous pieces that he claimed had been written by various popular 17th and 18th century composers. Later, he admitted that these pieces were a hoax, and that he had written them himself. Some listeners got and appreciated the joke, others angrily disapproved. In addition to those pieces created facetiously in the style of historical composers, Kreisler composed a modest amount of honestly attributed original music as well, including a string quartet in A minor, published in 1921.
His musical language, I think, was very approachable.
Violinist Benjamin Beilman.
I don't think that he set out necessarily to be an easily understood composer, but I think that was just in his approach and his being, that he is an open-hearted, warm person who wanted everyone to feel better in his presence, I think. And so I think a lot of his works reflect that.
Kreisler described his quartet as a tribute to Vienna, the city of his birth. The work comprises four movements. The first movement is an episodic fantasia, spanning a variety of musical characters and ensemble textures. It begins with a forceful ascending statement in the cello, quasi recitativo, amplified by the upper strings, and answered by a softer romantic utterance. A stylish allegro moderato section follows. An expressionistic passage interrupts this dreamy music, marked by quiet tremolando bowed sul ponticello, near the bridge of the instrument, producing a thin, glassy sound. Despite the contrasting texture, the first violin melody is no less sentimental than what came before. This evocative music reverts immediately to a crooning tenderness. Which soon dissolves into a sweetly hushed lullaby in the first violin, marked very delicate and intimate. This escalates to the movement's impassioned climax. A jaunty scherzo follows, marked Allegro vivo con spirito. But nor does the movement want for warmth of expression. Witness the starry-eyed trio section, marked by fancifully ornate melodic turns in all four instruments. The quartet's third movement begins with a suave introduction. This music gives way to a guileless romance, to be played einfach aber warm, simple but warm. This warm-heartedness permeates the entire romance, through to its enchanting final measures. A gentle arc traced by cello pizzicati, illumined by shimmering chords in the upper strings. The quartet concludes with a happy-go-lucky finale. While seemingly innocuous in its melodic content and overall expressive character, this finale features some of the quartet's most imaginative writing. Sensuous ensemble textures, as when broad, double-stopped chords herald a change of key from B-flat major to bright A major. Or in a subsequent episode, in which violins and viola play an anxious melody in parallel motion, propelled by a throaty accompaniment in the cello. Before its conclusion, the finale offers a reminiscence of the quartet's opening fantasia. The quartet ends not with an emphatic bang, but with a contented sigh. Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Jean-Marie Leclerc Sonata in E minor for two violins, Opus 3, No. 5, performed by Sean Lee and Danby Eugène Isaï's Rêve d'enfant, performed by Yura Lee and Anne-Marie McDermott, and Sonata in E minor, Opus 27, No. 4, performed by Benjamin Beilman. Debussy's Petite Suite, performed by Alessio Bax and Wu Han. Borodin's String Quartet No. 2, performed by Danby Sean Lee, Paul Neubauer, and David Finkel. And Fritz Kreisler's String Quartet, performed by Benjamin Beilman, Danby Paul Neubauer, and David Finkel, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. César Franck's Violin Sonata in A Major, performed by Augustine Dumay and Maria Joao Pires, and Ottorino Respighi's Violin Sonata in B Minor, performed by Kyung-ha Chung and Christian Zimmermann, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Faure's Piano Quartet No. 1 in C Minor, Opus 15, performed by Jeffrey Kahane, Ian Swenson, Geraldine Walter, and Colin Carr, appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.